The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
In Vayis Chanon, Shishi, it's Perek Vov Posuk Dalet, we have the Shema Yisrael. In the Shema Yisrael and the V'alhafto, on Pasuk Zayin, we have V'shinantum levonecha v'dibaltabom, that you shall teach these words to your children and you shall speak in them. This is a Pasuk which is very familiar to us all. The Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Yud Aleph, Mitzvah Esse Yud Aleph, the Rambam says, "He should tzivonu lilmei Torah ulalamdo, v'zehu anikra talmud Torah, v'hu amru v'shinantum levanecho." This pasuk v'shinantum levanecho commands us to study Torah and to teach it, and this is what is called Talmud Torah. The Rambam, from here, we can make the following observations. Vishinantam levonecho, we would assume, refers to teaching Torah. You shall learn with your children. The Rambam uses this as a source also for the mitzvah of studying Torah, that one is commanded to teach himself. Even though there are other psukim also, which the Rambam brings here in this mitzvah and also in Yad Chazoka, at the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah, which tells us that one is commanded to study himself, to teach himself. Nevertheless, he learns it from this posuk. Second observation is from the same posuk, from the same source, that he learns that one is required to teach, he learns one is required to learn. From the same source that one is required to learn, to study himself, the Rambam is learning, one is required to teach. Now these should be two separate mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah to study for yourself, and then there's a secondary mitzvah, an additional mitzvah to teach. And naturally they're related, but it's not the same mitzvah. The Rambam says not like that. He says, "Vishinantum levonecho," from here we learn, "Lilmei Torah ulalamdo," that one is obligated to study Torah, and one is obligated to teach Torah. Then the Rambam goes even further. He says, "Vizehu anikra Talmud Torah." We have the phrase, which is used very often by the sages, Talmud Torah. Now, Talmud Torah generally means the study of Torah. Now, the Rambam says, no, this Talmud Torah means the study and the teaching of Torah. And this also in his Yad Chazoka, at the beginning of Hilchos Talmud Torah, he reckons both of these mitzvahs as only one mitzvah's essay, one positive commandment. The mitzvah, the positive commandment of Talmud Torah, the study of Torah, encompasses the study and the teaching of Torah. But what is the explanation of this? As we said, it would seem these are two independent, separate mitzvahs. So why are they inclusive in one mitzvah, and one mitzvah is synonymous for both of them? The answer is the mitzvah from here we can learn. We'll bring other sources on this. Is the mitzvah of studying Torah is not in the simple sense that we take it to be. Studying Torah, we usually mean, is that we must become wiser in Torah. But rather, the mitzvah of studying Torah is to bring the understanding and the wisdom of Torah into the world. So therefore, there's no difference if you bring it to yourself or you bring it to others. That is the mitzvah of the study of Torah. The mitzvah of the study of Torah is to bring the Or HaTorah, the light of Torah. When we say light of Torah, we mean Lohovin Olahaskiru, the understanding, the wisdom, the light of Torah into the world. When I teach it to myself, I'm fulfilling that mitzvah. When I teach it to others, I'm fulfilling that same mitzvah. Therefore, that's what the Rambam says, Hu hanikra Talmud Torah, lilmeid ulalamdo, to study and to teach to others. This is what is referred to by the sages all of the time as Talmud Torah. And therefore, if one wants to fulfill the mitzvah, the great mitzvah of Talmud Torah, he can only fulfill it by teaching. We know that Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Greatest mitzvah is the study of Torah. If we assume that the study of Torah means making myself wise in Torah, then I can fulfill the mitzvah in this way. But if we say that the study of Torah, Talmud Torah, means bringing the wisdom of Torah into the world, so then, if I study Torah myself and leave it at that, you are limiting. That's a limitation in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. And in order for one to fulfill it in its totality, then he must study and he must teach. This is why, for example, we always found by the great sages and the great Lomdei Torah that they were always interested not only in the study of Torah but in the teaching of Torah, because this is merely two facets in this great mitzvah which equals all other mitzvahs in the Torah. I saw once something of interest. There was known as the Avnei Nezer, the great Gaon, the Sakhachov. He was the Rav of Sakhachov, a great Rav in Poland, a very great Talmud Chacham. In the last generation, and he writes as a preface to his Sefer, he wrote a Sefer, Egle Tal, and Melechus Shabbos, has to do with the what one is, and the different Melochus, the different works on Shabbos. And he writes in his preface that he didn't want to write a Sefer. He had Talmidim, he always taught, but he didn't want to write a Sefer. Because Yothe Atznius, he wanted to live a very, very modest life, and therefore he didn't want to write a Sefer. Actually, the Sforim that he's very famous for, Avnei Nezer, which are Shilas and Shuvas, responsive, that he never wrote. He wrote the responsive, was only made into a Sefer by his son and others after he died. So if he never wanted to write a Sefer, so why is he writing this now? He said, I'm getting older and I'm not so well anymore and I no longer can teach. And since I no longer can teach, and the person has to fulfill this mitzvah, so therefore I find it incumbent upon to write this sefer. Now, we'll go a little further. This we learn from Vishnantum. Now states Vishinantum Levanecho, you shall teach your sons. the Rambam brings, and Rashi also brings, from the Sifri, you shall teach your sons, again now, this is referring to the mitzvah of learning for yourself and to teach. The Sifri says it does not mean your sons. But levanecho eila talmidim, but it means you shall teach disciples. If that's the case, why is it called? Why are these called your sons? Shatalmidim kruim bonim. Because we have many sources in the Torah where your disciples are referred to as sons. So therefore, when it says you shall teach your sons, it is not referring to sons. It is referring to you shall teach disciples. We have other psukim that states a particular mitzvah of teaching your son and your grandson. So that the Rambam writes in his Yad Hazoko, that's merely to say that your first obligation is to teach your son and your grandson. But the mitzvah v'shinamtum levonecho is referring to disciples. And the Rambam in his Yad Hazoko writes, therefore, he says, therefore, mitzvah al kol chochem v'chochem Yisrael. It's an obligation on every one who is wise in Torah in Israel. Lamed es kol ha-talmidim. To teach all talmidim. Afal pi she'ein bonav, even though they're not one's sons. See, here we see further. One might think that you study Torah. If you want to impart it, that's your business. Now, mitzvah al kol chochem v'chochem Yisrael. Anyone who is wise in Torah, it becomes incumbent upon him to impart this knowledge to others. And we're not referring to your son or your grandson. They come first, but we're not referring to them. We're referring to all Talmidim. One is incumbent to impart this knowledge, this wisdom to them. Lelamed es kol ha-talmidim, to teach all disciples that he can, af al pi she'einon bonav, even though they are not his sons. Now this goes hand in hand in what we were speaking about. Because if the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the study of Torah, is not merely to gain wisdom for myself, but to bring the wisdom of Torah into the world. And therefore, it extends not only to study yourself, but to teach. So then how can one say that it's limited to your sons? If the mitzvah is to bring the knowledge of Torah into the world, so how can we say it's limited to one's sons? This goes hand in hand. Therefore, veshinantum. Veshinantum means to bring Torah into the world. The understanding of Torah. To yourself and to everyone possible. But it says levonecho, to your sons. So on that, the Sifri tells us, no, this is not referring to your sons. This is referring to kol ha-talmidim, to anyone that you can teach Torah to. Except, talmidim are kruim bonim. Talmidim, the disciples, are called your sons. With this we can understand the further Gemara. The Gemara brings in Masechta Sukkah in Perek, at the end of Perek Lulav Arova, Daf Mem Mentes Omid Seif Omid Beis, Mara brings the pasuk from the end of Mishlei. Pio pasuk v'chochma v'seiras chesed al l'sheino. A pasuk that we're all familiar with. It's in Eishes Chayil, Bimso, that her mouth opens up with wisdom, and there's a Torah of chesed, of loving kindness, on her tongue. Now this is referring to the Torah. The Gemara asks, "V'chi yesh Torah shel chesed, v'yesh Torah she'ena shel chesed?" What does it mean that there is Torah chesed al l'shona? There's a Torah of loving kindness on her tongue. Are there two types of Torahs? Is there a Torah of loving kindness and a Torah not of loving kindness? So the Gemara answers, yes, there are two kinds of Torah. Zu Torah lishma. Zui teira shel chesed, shelei lishma, zui teira she'ena shel chesed. Depends how one learns Torah. If one learns Torah for the sake of Torah, then that's considered teiras chesed al l'sheino. That's a Torah of chesed. If one learns Torah not for the sake of Torah, but for ulterior motives, then there is something lacking in that study of Torah. And that's a Torah she'ena shel chesed. That's not a Torah shel chesed. That's a half a Torah. That's what the Gemara says. Now, before we go further, we have to understand that a Torah which is not a Torah shel chesed is not at all Torah in its totality. Because the Gemara tells us, the Gemara at the end of the first parak in Masechta Seita, that chilosai shel teira gemilas kasodim v'sefer shel teira gemilas kasodim. The Torah begins with a case of chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and he made clothing for the first man and woman, and it ends with a case of chesed where he went and he buried himself, Moshe Rabbeinu, and to tell us that the fabric of Torah is chesed. So when we speak of a Torah she'enach shel chesed, you're speaking about something, a very inferior Torah. And that's a Torah which is learned shelei lishma, for ulterior motives. Then the Gemara says another explanation. Ike d'amri, Torah lalamdo zuhi teira shel chesed, shelei lalamdo zuhi teira she'enach shel chesed. If it's a Torah which you are going to teach, that becomes Torah shel chesed. If it's a Torah which you're not going to impart, that becomes a Torah she'ena shel chesed. Now here we see that when one learns Torah, and he learns it as well as the second person, maybe even better, but he's learning it for himself and not to impart to others. And the other one is learning it to impart to others. It's two separate Torahs. One is Teiras Chesed al l'sheino. One is called Teiras Chesed. And the other is called Teiras She'ena shel Chesed. And it's not merely that there's a little difference between the two Torahs. But we said, the Gemara tells us, the essence of Torah is a Teiras shel Chesed. This means that the one who is learning Torah to impart to others, he is learning Torah. That's the Torah of Hashem. The one who's learning Torah not with the intention to impart to others, that's a far inferior Torah. That is not the Torah's chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here we see how the two are linked together. That someone who learns and he teaches, not only is his teaching a mitzvah, but then his learning is a mitzvah. While someone who learns and he does not teach, it's not that he has learned but has not taught, but even in the learning it drops a great deal from a Torah's chesed to a Torah she'ena shel chesed. We'll come back to to this, what we're speaking about. But first, let us make one other point. In all of this, the Torah used the phraseology Vishinanton Rebonecho. Vishinantum is a strange word. And Anat the Sifri says, the Rambam brings it in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and Rashi brings it. What does it mean, Vishinantum? Shimechudodim beseich picho. When you teach the Torah, now according to the way we're learning, this refers to both teaching the Torah and learning the Torah yourself. It should be bichudodim beseich ficho. It should be clear and sharp in your mouth. The actual girso, the text of the Sifri that we have, shio mesudorim beficho. It should be well organized in your mouth. So well organized, kishodim shal chodover leitei megamgim loy, ele emele miyad. That when someone will ask you about what you're learning, you shouldn't stammer and give him a whole confused picture. But emele miyad should answer him immediately. Now from here we see that when we are referring to this study of the Torah or to the imparting of this Torah, what are we referring to? Again, we're referring to the Or of Torah, the light of Torah. Torah has to be lohovin o lahaskil, to understand and to become wise from. If a person learns Torah and he does not understand it and he does not become wise from it, then this is not vishinantum levonecho. This is not the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Because then the Torah would have said, read Torah. When it comes to some other things, you can read. You can read without understanding. Do not make the mistake to think that this is Talmud Torah. Hi hanikra Talmud Torah, the Rambam says, this is what is called Talmud Torah. And on that, the sages tell us, the Torah especially used the word Vishinantum. Vishinantum is called Talmud Torah. And Vishinantum, Rashi says, Rashi adds a word, he says, Loshen Chidud, it's sharp. That the Torah has to be, when you study it, it has to become clear and sharp, and mesudorim bepicho, and organized. Shalete megamgim. Now, if a person studies and he becomes confused, then he's ultimately not fulfilling the mitzvah. There's nothing wrong with becoming confused when you start to study. But that's the purpose of studying. The purpose of studying is to deconfuse the situation, say, to clarify the situation. This is the objective. It takes labor. This is the mitzvah of Vishinantum Levonecho. And this is the mitzvah when you teach. Whether you're teaching little children, or you're teaching big children, or you're teaching adults, the mitzvah is clarity, misudorim, well organized. The opposite of megamgim, shleite megamgim. Megamgim is when it's not organized, it's confused. The person stammers. He stammers and stutters. And why is this? For the simple reason, because what is Torah? Torah is called Or, light. And what is Gimgum? Confusion? That's Cheshech, that's darkness. And the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to bring light to oneself and to bring light to others. And therefore, if one studies and after the study, he is as confused as when he began, or sometimes even more confused. And the others also. This is not Torah. And that's why the Torah wrote this mitzvah with the words Vishinantum. From here we see, it's Chochma Ubino, Hi Chochmaschem, like we have in the Sedra. This is, it's wisdom. Wisdom is the light which goes into a person's mind and heart and his soul. And from here we see also the great importance of learning many times, Gemara says. Because the only way a person can come to clarity is by reviewing, revision, over and over and over again. The Gemara always spoke about reviewing something 100 times. Say, may upon me. Or more. From here we see that one can study Torah at literally hundreds or thousands of different levels, depending on his own level. You have a child who's 5 years old can study Torah. You had the Vilna Gaon studied the same piece of Torah. The Rambam studied the same piece of Torah. And the Reb Chiya and the Rav Ashi studied the same piece of Torah. And the Reb Akiva studied the same piece of Torah. Torah is endless, and you can study it at literally hundreds and hundreds of different levels. It's not so important which level you study it. It's important that whatever level you do study at it, you should understand clearly. The goal should be to understand clearly what you are studying. And therefore it's always far better to go for a lower level which you can understand clearly than to go for a higher level that ends up the gimgum, where you have to stutter and stammer. And this is one of the great ills of many generations of Torah many times. Where many times people want to start at the top instead of the bottom. Or the same thing with children. And the Gedalim of the generation always would cry out against this. The Maral consistently would cry out against this. Because the mitzvah is vishinantum levonecho, not merely sitting by a sefer or a gemara and reading through it, but lohovin olahaskil, to bring the or of Torah to himself and to others. And an or has to be clarity. Now this mitzvah we find has no limitation whatsoever. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Talmud Torah Perek Aleph Halacha Ches. Kol ish mi Yisrael chai b'Talmud Torah. Every man is obligated in Talmud Torah. This is one of the few mitzvahs that we find is not subject to place or to time or to situations. Bein oni, bein osher. Whether he's very poor or whether he's very wealthy. Bein sholem megufa, bein bal yisurim. Whether he's a person who's very strong or whether he's a person who, heaven forbid, is afflicted with disease. Bein bocher, whether he's a young boy, bein shiyazok in godel shitoshes keichai, or whether he's very, very old. Afilo hoyo oni amispanis minat stoker. Umakser ala psochim, and even if he's so poor that he has to go and beg for money. Or bal isho bonim. Or even if he's married and he has many, many children. Every person is obligated in the mitzvah of this mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Chayev likveya leizman leTalmud Torah. He has to set aside time for the study of Torah. Bayayim ubalaylo. We have some mitzvahs that are only during the day. We have some mitzvahs that are at night. No, during the day and at night. Shinemar, as it states, vogisa bayayim ubalaylo. That you must meditate in this day and night. So he has to set aside time during the day and set aside time at night. Now, one might think that this mitzvah is for scholars, those who are sitting in yeshiva. They have time for the mitzvah, but those who are not in yeshivas are not obligated. Or for rabbonim. This is a mitzvah for rabbonim. He says, no. G'day lechach mi Yisrael. Rambam writes that we had great sages in Israel. Some were woodchoppers. Mehen shavimayim. Others were water drawers. Mehen sumim. Some were blind. They were afflicted with disease. And afal bikay, nevertheless, this didn't stand in their way, and this did not defer them from the, or exempt them from the mitzvah. But they spent as much energy as reasonably possible and as much time for the study and the teaching of Torah, day and night. The Kesef Mishnah brings, he says, we find in the Gemara, for example, Reb Lezer ben Reb Shimon, that was a sick man, yet he rose up to become a great sage in Israel. Reb Hanina ben Dusa and Hillel, who were very, very poor. We find he brings Hillel, before he became a prince in Israel, he was a simple worker, and yet he was the Hillel. Or we find Rafuna. Or of Yosef, who was blind. And ad emosai chayev lilmei Torah. And when does this mitzvah end upon a person? Ad yemei, when he dies. Shenemar pen yusurim ilavovcho kol yemei chayecho. Kolzman shelayasik belimur husheichayach. Lest you forget this what you have heard on Sinai. And as long as a person does not continue to labor in Torah, he forgets. So therefore he's obligated in this mitzvah every day of his life until the day of his death. So here we see that Torah has no gvul, it has no limitation. Young people, old people, workers, laborers, rabbonim, rosh yeshivas, poor, wealthy, healthy, sick. During the day, during the night, and all of the days of his life. And the reason for this is because Torah itself has no limitation. The light of Torah, the wisdom of Torah is infinite. It's bli gvul. Has no bounds. It comes from a world far greater and bigger than this world. And it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And it's synonymous, it's part of Hashem, where he has revealed his seichel, his intellect, his will. And just like he is limitless, so is his Torah limitless. Therefore, it's a mitzvah that cannot have limitations. Some mitzvah during the day, some at night, some are on Shabbos, some are on the week, some are on Yontif. Chometz, Matzah and Chometz is on Pesach, Sukkot is on Sukkot, Lulav is on Sukkot, and so forth. Now, there are no limitations. That's why you can learn Mesechta Psochi, you can learn the laws of Pesach on Sukkot, and you still have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You can learn the laws of Sukkot and Shavuos, and you still have the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Sometimes we have to pull in the reins. Sometimes we have to stop learning. For example, the Gemara tells us that mevatlin Talmud Torah for derech eretz, for panosa, to make a living. So then we stop learning Torah. or to take care of our human needs, because we are human beings, we have to eat, we have to sleep, so then we stop learning. Or for mitzvahs, many times comes a mitzvah, we have to stop learning. But the Maral explains that's not a limitation in Torah, that's a limitation in the Odom, in the person, but not in Torah. It's not because at that time there's no, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Torah. For example, it's not like you take chometz and matzah, which is a mitzvah only on Pesach. Not on Pesach, it'd be no mitzvah. Talmud Torah, kol zimna v'zimna zmanehi. All of the time is its man, is its time. Except we are limited. We are human beings. We cannot devote all of our time and all of our energies to Torah, because we have other things that we must do also. But that's not a limitation in Torah. From this, it's important to note that the study of Torah, certainly the study of Torah, but even the teaching of Torah, is something which runs across the board by Klal Yisrael. And it's not exclusive. And it's not limited to, for example, by Rabbonim. Many people feel, look, someone said, oh, he should learn Torah. He'll learn for us. This is not the case at all, like we see here. And this is how it was in the early generations. Even after the time of the Gemara. For example, in the last generation in Lithuania, you had many, many simple people that were not great Lomdim, not great Talmidei Chachamim. Yet, every day they had Shiurim. In the day, in the night, you'd come into the shuls before davening, after davening, between davening. You had shurim in mikro and chumash. You had shurim in nach. You had shurim in Ein Yaakov. You had shurim in Chai Odom. You had shurim in Mishnah. You had shurim in Gemara. This was a way of life by them. This was not, they didn't feel that this is a mitzvah for the Rav. This is everyone's mitzvah. And everyone's chus. And they didn't feel they were doing this was something really great they were doing. This became part of them, and this was part of their life. The Bote Midroshim, the Midroshes were full with people, all of the time. The later generations, after the First World War, and when Kehillah started to become uprooted, and they were moved from one place to the other, and then there were all these liberation movements sweeping through Europe, and it took its toll on tradition. And it took its toll on Yiddishkeit too. The Chofetz Chaim Zecher Tzadik Livracha he writes, he says, I remember when I was young, he says, the shuls were full with people, sitting and learning, all kinds of people, not just Lomdim, everybody. Well, they had to work long days, they weren't sitting there the whole day. But even though they had to work long days, they still found time to come in before davening early in the morning, or after davening, or in the evening. He says it was full. Then you had in the past generations, without going back to what the Rambam is referring to, you had great Lomdim, very great Talmidei Chachamim, but they were not Rabbonim, and they sat and learned and they taught. Those that could would teach. But they did not hold official positions. They were not Rabbonim. See, look, the Rabbonim for sure were learning and the Rosh Yeshivas. But we're speaking about the others. They did not hold official positions. There were many that did not want official positions. And therefore they made their living through other means. They were businessmen or whatever they were. But they were great. They became world giants in Torah. To name a few, Yeshiva Bochrim are always familiar with the Mashor. This goes back a few hundred years ago. The Mashor was a businessman. He was one of the greatest Lomdim of all time. Anybody that learns Gemara today, he learns Mashor. Many times he writes that he had to be at the Yerid, he had to be at the fair. So he was not able to write a commentary on this piece of Gemara. He was a businessman. He had Talmidim also, he had a yeshiva. But that was not his official position. He did that to fulfill the mitzvah of what we're talking about, Vishnantam Levanecho. And he became a world giant. There was another one I mentioned many times, and Gifter always would speak about him. Reb Ephraim Zalman Margolius, the Beis Ephraim. The Beis Ephraim, a number of years ago, they rewrote some of his manuscripts. It was from Eretz Yisrael. One of the institutes there. And they write in the Hagdoma that people could not understand how he had learned so much because he was so wealthy. Not because he was so poor, but he was so wealthy. He was an Osher Muflik. He was a big businessman. He was in banking. He was had a big hardware industry. He was an industrialist. And he lived in Poland near the German border. This goes back a few hundred years ago during the time of the Xais and the Nisivis. And he wouldn't kiss. He would not hold an official position. As far as he was concerned, he was a plain Jew. If he's a plain Jew, what's he learning so much for? This was understood. To become great in Torah had nothing to do with position. And he became so great that from all over the world they would write him shailos, questions. And these are the famous tshuvas of the Beis Ephraim, Ephraim Zalman Margolius. And he wrote with the greatest rabbonim from all over the world would write to him. And Rav Gifter once said that any question that was asked to him in his hometown, he would never answer, he would refuse to answer. He would say, there's a Rav in the city. I'm not the Rav. So he wouldn't answer. But questions from the whole world were coming to him. From outside the city, that's a different story. They wanted to know his opinion. He would give his opinion. This was the Beis Ephraim. And they write in the preface there that people didn't know where did he find the time to learn when he was involved in so many big businesses. In Lithuania, in the last generations, there was the Chai Odom. Everyone is familiar with the Chai Odom. The Chai Odom lived in Vilna. He was related to the Vilna Gaon. He wrote a Shulchan Aruch, yet he was a businessman. He was a merchant. Didn't have an official position. Very interesting, the story of Reb Lazer Gordon's father, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. The father of Lazer Gordon. Lazer was the founder of Telz. His father, this was in the 1800s, his father was a brandy maker, a whiskey maker. That's how he made his living. He studied in Volozhin Yeshiva, left the yeshiva, became a brandy maker, and never had an official position. And always carried on his learning. He says he used to have to sit up nights next to the brandy to make sure that it was developing properly. And there he sat and learned. And he became so great in Torah that it's written on him that when he would revisit Volozhin Yeshiva, Reb Chaim Volozhin, the great Reb Chaim, would stand up for him. Stand up for him. Reb Chaim was the Godel Hador, the greatest in the generation. The Talmud Muvak, the great disciple of the Vilna Gaon, would stand up for this person. That was not that did not consider himself a Rava or Rosh Yeshiva. And these people, you had what was known as Rabbono Shel Kleda. It's a funny thing. See, today, today you can't tell a Rav who's a Rav. In the old days, you used to be able to tell a Rav by his clothing. You have what they know, Rabbono Shel Kleda, rabbinical garb. In fact, is the Gemara always spoke about it. The Gemara I've spoke about, a Torah Shel Rabbono, a Tali Shel Gedalim. Gemara always speaks about that you must be very careful not to put on a Tali Shel Gedalim. In the old days, you could spot a Rav right away because he went in rabbinical garb. These people that were world greats would not wear rabbinical garb under no circumstances. It's written, and Reb Lezer tells his father that Reb Chaim Volozhiner would stand up for him. That people would wonder because he dressed as a shepherd. He would wear a sheepskin coat just like a shepherd. And he'd walk into Volozhin Yeshiva and Reb Chaim Volozhiner would stand up for him. Everybody couldn't understand. Yesterday, last night, I was at a chasana. And I was sitting next to Reverend Perlow. He should be well and strong. Reverend Perlow studied in Ramalis Yeshiva in Vilna. And he used to daven. He was one of the bochrim that would help make up Reb Chaim Eizer's minion. Reb Chaim Eizer wouldn't daven in the shul. He had his own minion in his house, and he'd have bochrim from the yeshiva. And then he went to Radin to study in Radin. Radin was a great yeshiva, 300 talmidim, he told me. And it was known as the Chofetz Chaim yeshiva. The Chofetz Chaim, I think, would worry about the finances. Once in a while, he would say musa there. But the Chofetz Chaim was not the official Rosh Yeshiva. The Chofetz Chaim would never accept an official position. He told me in his days the Chofetz Chaim never said a shir in the yeshiva and would never pask in a shaila. He says, you'd ask the Chofetz Chaim a shaila, he would say, Dafregen the Rov, ask the Rov. And there were other Rosh Yeshivas in the yeshiva. Now the Chofetz Chaim, in all of his days, would never wear Rabbono Shel Kleda. He would never wear rabbinical garb. That's why if you look at the pictures of the Chofetz Chaim, he always had a cap. And that cap was what the simple Jews used to wear. And when they would ask him, he'd say, Ich bin nicht kein Rov, I'm not a Rov. He wouldn't wear Rabbono Shel garb. That's why there are so many stories about people who met the Chofetz Chaim and they would think he's someone else. Because his fame was known not only in Radin and not only in Lithuania, but in Poland, in Warsaw, in Germany, in America, throughout the whole world. Gifter once said that the Chofetz Chaim was one of the few of the leaders that we had in modern times that übergegangen alle Grenzen, that there were no limitations. There were some that were great by the Litvische, some were great by the Polish, some were great by the Hungarian, some by the Hasidim, by the Chofetz Chaim. There were no limitations. And when people used to meet this individual, they never thought he was the Chofetz Chaim. They thought he was... How did he make a living? He had a shop together with his wife. He used to sell herring, and they used to sell hardware. And this is how he made a living. He wanted no official position. Yet, day and night, whenever he had time, he learned. And he wrote his forim. In his later years, he made a living through selling his forim. He used to write his forim, go and sell them, or hire people to sell them. He would take only a fair amount. If someone would give him more, he would return the money. And this is how he made a living. He told me an interesting story. There's all kinds of stories of people who met him and they didn't know who he was because of this reason. He told me an interesting story that he went to one town, one city, it was maybe in Poland or someplace, and they asked him, where are you from? And he said, from Radin. So they said, Radin? That's where the great Chofetz Chaim lives. Such a gaon and tzaddik. So he said, he says he's not such a gaon and tzaddik. This is what the Chofetz Chaim said. So the Jew became angry and he hit him. He gave him a patch, he hit him. He says, how dare you speak about the Chofetz Chaim like that? So when the Chofetz Chaim came back to Radin, he said, I learned a new halacha. He says, a new halacha in Lashon Hara. That not only one is not allowed to say Lashon Hara on someone else, but even on himself also. This is what he learned from that. So, because he did not treat himself properly with that respect. He said that he wasn't Zetchigon and Sadik. He says this is why he got that patch. The Gemara in Masechta Yuma. The Gemara goes into what we're speaking about. That the study of Torah or the teaching of Torah, these people taught because they knew that was part of the study of Torah. And if they couldn't teach themselves, they wrote Sforim to teach. That the study of Torah or the teaching of Torah or the greatness of Torah is not limited to those holding official positions in Torah. Mora brings in Masechta Yuma Daf Lamed Hei Amud Beis. Tana Rabbanan, Oni Va'oshe V'Rosho, Boin Ledin. In the world to come, a poor man and a wealthy man and a wicked man, they'll come to the tribunal. To the poor man, they'll say, why didn't you not occupy yourself with Torah in this world? He'll say, I was so poor and I had to work so hard for a living. When did I have time to study Torah? They'll bring Hillel and they'll say, no, you couldn't have been worse off than Hillel, and still look how much Hillel studied. They bring the story, Hillel, when he was young, every day he used to go and he used to work and he would earn a tarpit. It was a certain amount of money, a very modest sum. Half he would give to the guard at the Beis HaMedrash. Evidently there was an admission fee to come into the Beis HaMedrash because they had to help pay the expenses of the Beis HaMedrash. So half he would give to come into the Beis HaMedrash and the other half he would use to sustain his household. One time he didn't make any money. He was a woodchopper. He didn't make any money. And the guard of the Beis HaMedrash wouldn't let him in. So he went up on the skylight to listen to the shiur of Shemayo of Avtalion. As he was listening to the shiur, it started to snow. And it was Erev Shabbos, and it was Tevis. Tevis is the winter time, January, in the northern hemisphere. And a great snow fell upon him. And he became so cold and covered in snow that he couldn't move, and eventually he fainted. The next day, Shemayo and Avtalion came into the Beis HaMedrash, and it was dark. And they said, why is it dark? Every morning it's so light in here. And they looked up at the skylight, and they could see the form of a person laying there. And they went out, and they saw that there was approximately 6 feet, a couple of meters of snow upon him. They shoveled off the snow. They brought him down. They put him in hot water. And then they took oil and smeared it all over him. And then they put him next to the fire. They lit a fire until they finally revived him. And they understood what he was doing up there. They said, Roy Zevachalov is a Shabbos. This is someone that it's certainly a great mitzvah to desecrate the Shabbos war. This was Hillel. Osher, if a person comes now and he says, I couldn't study Torah because I had too much business, I had big businesses to take care of, where do I have time to study Torah? So they tell him, you couldn't have been wealthier than Reb Lezer. They say on Reb Lezer ben Chasum that his father left him for an inheritance 1,000 cities on the land and 1,000 ships at sea. This is how wealthy he was. And every day to get away from it all, to get away from all of the computers and the faxes and the telephone calls, he used to take some flour, and he would disguise himself so nobody knew who he was, and he would go to a different city so he could sit there for a few days in peace and learn. One time he was walking through a city, and it was one of his cities, and all of a sudden policemen come up to him and they said that evidently on everyone living in that city there was a tax placed on them, that they have to participate in work, civil work that has to be done, in communal work, community work. And they said, you haven't done it. So he said, please leave me alone, I want to study Torah. And they still wouldn't leave him alone, and they didn't know who he was. So finally he gave them a big sum of money to get them off his back. This was the story with Reb Lezer ben Chasum. So we say that nobody could have been as wealthy as him, and still he managed to study Torah. Then the Rosh comes, and we say, why didn't you study Torah? He said, Torah be Yitzri, or Yisi Torah be Yitzri. This is a fella who you would say would be what we would call a jet setter. He says, look, I was a very handsome person, and I was very popular, and I was very much in demand. And because I was always so busy, he says, I never had time for Torah. So they tell him, Klum noa hayisa miYosef, you weren't handsomer or more popular than Yosef. And Yosef HaTzadik, with the wife of Potiphar, wanted to entice him. Begodim shelof shelay shachris lelof shelay arvis. Begodim shelof shelay arvis lelof shelay shachris. The garments that she put on for him in the morning, she changed in the evening. And the garments in the evening, she changed in the morning. And she never stopped trying to entice him. And still, with all of this, he did not submit to her, and he carried on with the study of Torah. He studied Torah all of the time while I was in Egypt, and he taught Torah to his sons. So the Gemara finally says, Hillel mechayves ha'aniyim, Reb Lezer ben Chasum mechayves ha'ashirim, Yosef mechayves ha'rashoyim. Hillel becomes the role model for people who can study Torah and even grow great in Torah, no matter how poor they are. That's Hillel. And Reb Lezer ben Chasum becomes the role model how one can study Torah and become so great in Torah no matter how wealthy one is. And Yosef becomes the role model that one can become, study and grow great in Torah no matter how many problems he has with himself. The Maral says that we're speaking about someone who doesn't have enough possessions. We're speaking about the one who has too many possessions. And we're speaking about the one who has problems with himself. And still, one can overcome them. These people overcame them and found time for Torah. Now, one final Gemara. And this is in line with what we were saying. The Gemara brings in Perakaseches Apeilim, Babetzia, Daf Pehe, Omen Aleph and Omen Beis,
The Gemara says, "Domar Avihu Omar Rav, V'yamri Lo Omar Reb Chiya Barab Omar Reb Yechanan, V'yamri Lo Omar Reb Shmuel Banat Meni Omar Reb Yenison. Kol Amalamer Es Ben Chaveret Torah. Whoever teaches the son of his friend Torah, Zoche V'Yoshev V'Yeshiva Shel Malo." He will merit to sit in the Yeshiva Shel Malo, the heavenly Yeshiva. As it states, the Gemara brings a pasuk from Yirmiyahu, Tes Vov, Yutes. Im Toshuv, Bashivcho, Lefonai Ta'amod. Im Toshuv, if you will bring people back to me, by imparting Torah to them, then va'ashiv cholafonai tomid, then I will have you stand by me all of the time. So from here we learn that kol ha'malamed ben chaveiro Torah, whoever teaches the son of his friend Torah, will be zeicher b'yeshiv b'yeshiva shel malo. He will be zeicher to sit in the yeshiva, in the heavenly yeshiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yeshiva. Then the Gemara goes further. V'chol ha'malamed es ben am ha'aretz Torah. What happens if he teaches the son of an ignorant person Torah? There's a person who's totally ignorant from Torah, and he takes his son and he teaches him Torah. Then afilo HaKadosh Baruch Hu geiz gzeira, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem makes a decree, Mevatlo bishviloi, Hashem will rescind that decree for this person. He'll have a power to cause the decree to be rescinded, because the rest of the pasuk states, "Beim totzi yokor mizolel." If you will bring out something precious from something which is not precious, kefisiyah, then it'll be in accordance to your mouth. You can say something which will rescind the Almighty's, which will rescind the Almighty's decree. These are Gemaras. The Gemara brings a third Gemara, an Amud Beis. Reish Lakish have mitzayin marosa d'rabonim. Reish Lakish was searching for the graves of the Rabbonim, of the sages, of his colleagues, where they were buried, because it was a mitzvah to fence them off so the Kahanim would know where they are and the Kahanim would not walk there. And he was finding everyone's graves. Many times there were caves. In those days, many times they buried in caves. And he found everyone's. But when he came to the cave of Reb Chiya, the great Reb Chiya, Reb Chiya Mirvashi, wherever he looked, he couldn't find it. He looked here, it wasn't there. He looked there, he just could not find it. Finally, he realized that it must be Mishomayim that he's not finding it. It's from heaven that he's not finding it. And it must be because Reb Chiya was too great of a person for he, Reish Lakish, to be able to know where his grave is. So Cholash Daitoy. And because of that, he became very upset. Omar Ribbeinu Shel Olam, he said, Ribbeinu Shel Olam, Lei Pipalti Teira Kemeisei, did not I be Mefalpel? Piltul is the highest level in understanding Torah. That's where you take the Torah and you debate it and you dissect it and you analyze it. And the Reish Lakish was very great at this. And he said, "Pilpalti teira kemeisei, why is he so great? My pilpul was as great as he was. I could dissect and elucidate and clarify the most difficult
sugya subjects in Shas just like Rav Chiya? Yotze Bashko, a voice from heaven came down the Omralei and said, Torah kemeisei pilpaltro. Your pilpul was as great as his. But Teira kemeisei leiri vachto. But you did not teach Torah like him. You elucidated Torah like him. You analyzed Torah like him. But you did not, Lady Vatsto, Harbotsos Torah, you did not teach Torah like him. So we have three Gemaras here. We have one Gemara where it states that if you teach the son of your friend Torah, you'll get a ticket to the Yeshiva Shel Malo, the heavenly Yeshiva. A second Gemara, that if he's not only a son of your friend, but he's a ben amoris, he's the son of an ignorant person, then even what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees, you'll have the power to rescind it. And then here we have where Reish Lakish couldn't find the grave of Reb Chiya, and he understood because Reb Chiya was so much greater than him, and he said, my pilpul, my analysis of Torah was as great as his? Yes. But your teaching of Torah was not as great as his. Now the Maral asks good questions in Nagodesh. He says, firstly, what does it mean, the Yeshiva Shel Malo? What does it mean, a ticket to the Yeshiva Shel Malo? The Yeshiva of upstairs. Secondly, he asks a very good question. Why does it say Ben Chaveiro? Why doesn't it say Beno? Your son. Why the son of your friend? And it means that because the other Gemaras are speaking about your son. Here it says, here it's speaking differently. It was Ben Chaveiro. And then also, what is the great addition of Ben Amoritz? Why is that so good? You teach a son of an ignoramus. I would say a son of a Talmud Chochem would be better. So the Maral says, which is along the lines which we have been speaking about. He says, the Yeshiva Shel Malo, the Yeshiva of the heavens, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yeshiva. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yeshiva. Leave a finger. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Rosh Yeshiva. Now, when you go to a yeshiva, you have to be able to identify somehow with the Rosh Yeshiva. If you're a young boy, you can't go to a Rosh Yeshiva, that's too great. They say, for example, you cannot take a barrel of wine and pour from the barrel into a little bottle. So you're a young boy, you go to a younger Rebbe, see, or someone who's not so great, to go learn an HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yeshiva. That's something. There you have to be able to identify with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why not everybody can go to the Yeshiva Shel Malo. Now, he says, to identify with the Yeshiva Shel Malo with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be beligvul. You have to be without limitation. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no limitations. There are some Rosh Yeshivas that are limited. All right, that you can identify with. But to identify with a Rosh Yeshiva like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's without limitations. That's the first thing. And secondly, to identify with Hashem, Hashem is never a recipient. He never receives, he never takes. He always gives. You have to be a giver, not a recipient. So, someone who learns Torah, like Reish Lakish, and he said, my pilpul was the greatest. I clarified sugis and shas that nobody ever clarified before. See, he came to the greatest levels in understanding of Torah. But Reb Chiya was greater, because you were limited. You came to great understanding in Torah for yourself, and it was limited to yourself. Pipalta Torah kemeisa, but lehibatz the Torah. Reb Chiya, though, not only did he learn for himself,
but he gave all of that wisdom to others. So there was no limitation in him. And you were a recipient. You received Torah. Reb Chiya gave Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Nosein Torah. He's not the Mekabel Torah. Hashem is not the recipient of Torah. He's the giver of Torah. And this is why Reish Lakish was unable to comprehend the grave of Reb Chiya. Now the Maral says we understand why Ben Chaveira and Ben Amoritz. To learn Torah for yourself, it's a great mitzvah. But it's gvulim, it's limited, it's within bounds. And that's not Torah Shlema, that's not the essence of Torah, because Torah can have no limitations. To teach it to your son and your grandson is a greater mitzvah, but it's also limited. Because brokara dabua, your son is like you. You're limiting Torah still to yourself. Because bonim, and b'nei bonim, areike bonim. Because children and grandchildren are like yours. You're limiting Torah to your family. And Torah, in its ultimate, cannot have any limitation. That's why someone who will give Torah, not only he studies Torah, but he gives Torah, and he gives it leben chaveroi, to a son of a chaver, of someone else, that shows that he's a giver of Torah, and his Torah has no limitations. Oh, then he will get a schus, he'll have a ticket to the yeshiva shalmalo, because now he can learn by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a giver of Torah and has no limitations. What happens, the Maral says, if he teaches Torah to a ben amoritz, to a son of an ignorant person? He says, Kaviyocho, if we could say such a thing, he becomes greater than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Chachomim. He taught Torah to those who were wise. You're taking the light of Torah and you're spreading it even further. You're spreading it to those who were not wise. You are showing a greater extension, a greater expansion of Torah than even HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu's gezer decrees something, you can be mevatel it. You can rescind it. Because from this perspective, you are doing even more than Hashem. So therefore, kol alei melamed heira leben chaveirei, Zeche v'yeshiv v'yeshivish el malo. Someone who teaches Torah not just to himself and not just to his children, his family, but to others, then he's zeche to sit in the yeshivish el malo in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's yeshiva, as it says, im toshuv, if you will cause people to come back to me through your Torah, then v'ashiv cholef onai tomid, I will bring you in front of me in my yeshiva. And v'im totzi yoko mizolel, but if more, you will bring out that which is precious, you will bring out diamonds from that which is not there. In other words, you will take a person from an ignorant family where there was no Torah, and you bring Torah to it. We would think to Rabbonim's families are better. No. Kodesh Baruch Hu teaches Torah to Rabbonim's families. But you're teaching Torah to places where there was no Torah before. He says, this is even more than Hashem. Then, kefisiya, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it'll be like you say, not like I say, but like you say, kefisiya. And therefore, afila HaKadosh Baruch Hu geis egzera mevatlo. You can rescind his decrees. And this is why Reish Lakish was not able to comprehend where the grave of Reb Chiya was. What? Yeah, so, yeah. All right. You mean the Reb Chiya? Oh. Reb Chiya and Reb Eishiya. It was Reb Chiya and Reb Eishiya. Excuse me, you're right. Yeah, Reb Chiya and Reb Eishiya.
Yes, Reb Chiya and Reb Aishya were from the early Amoraim. These were the brises of Reb Chiya and Reb Aishya. And this is why Reish Lakish, though, was not able to comprehend. Because he said, Pilpalto Torah Kemesa, your clarification and elucidation of Torah was as great as his. But Lahibatz the Torah Kemesa, but you did not give over Torah to others like he did. This is the explanation in the Vishinantum Levanecho, you shall teach your children. It does not. The way the Rambam says, this is the mitzvah, Lilmai Torah Ulalamdo, to study the Torah and to give it over. Vizuha Nikra Talmud Torah. And this is what is called the mitzvah of Talmud Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.